And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I know usually you're supposed to come and talk to the priest about what you've done wrong and confess, and I get that's how it usually works, but today I have to confess to you all something, a dark secret from my past that I've carried low these many years. In college, I was a faithful watcher of Days of Our Lives. That's right. I know I'm not alone in this room. Like, we totally would watch Days of Our Lives. It was like the season where Marlene was possessed by the devil. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's right. Some of you are dark like me. All right, so soap operas, they're totally ridiculous, and there's lots of shows that are like them today. Like, I know some of you, you like your Grey's Anatomy, you know, and these shows all have a consistent feature that is actually admirable. And what it is in these shows, because they have to communicate the drama succinctly and really precisely, they have this method where when there's conflict between two characters, one character will come up to the other and very, again, succinctly and directly lay out what the problem is, you know? Well, you should have thought about what you said before you said it, because when you did that, you made yourself look like a jerk. Right? And then what happens is this person, though, leaves and the camera stays on this person and they're left to ponder what's been said. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's totally how it works. It never works like that in real life. Like, if I'm mad at Brian, I don't like walk up to him and be like, you should have thought about what you said because now you're a jerk, and then storm off or something. Like, I just made my point. Incidentally, if you also want to know how actors communicate drama, when they want to show you that they really mean what they're saying to another character, watch their eyes. And what they do is they move their eyes. So if I'm looking at Liz, they're watching like eye to eye, eye to eye, eye to eye. And then the viewer, we see their eyes moving and it makes us think, oh, they really mean that. Okay, that's just inside baseball. Now, here's the thing. Why this is commendable is because that sort of directness is not something we do all the time, is it? It's not the way we usually handle conflict when we are in our circles. Jesus is talking actually about that kind of directness in the gospel today. This Matthew 18 gospel, I can't tell you how many times I've taught this to like youth groups going on mission trips when you're dealing with a bunch of teenagers and you're like, look, this is how we're supposed to live together. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus, there is a standard of relationship among us that is different than among maybe your friends at school or whatever. And I would say as churches, like as Jesus people in the churches, this is how we're supposed to be together. And Jesus is particularly talking about the way we reconcile, okay? So look how it starts. Jesus says, hey, look, if another member of the church sins against you, go and tell your friends about it behind their back and complain about it and never mention it to them. Oh, no, wait, that's not what it says, is it? No. Go and complain about it to your friend and ask them to talk about. No, that's not what it says. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. Oh, wouldn't it just be so awesome? But if the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So if it doesn't work out, get another couple of people. Clearly, you guys are having trouble. Deb and I are having trouble communicating. So we are like, look, can we come sit down with you, Liz? And Lord, we all be there. We just listen to us and make sure that we are not going off the rails. Like, I feel like we're not clicking, right? Because we trust you all, right? You're nice people. And then if that doesn't work, Jesus says, if that member still refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. This is when it comes to my office. Dixon, you got to sit in this meeting. Why do I have to be there? If the offender refuses to listen even to the church, then let such a one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if you agree about anything, if two of you agree on anything you ask, it will be done for you in my Father's name. When two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Okay, so this pattern that Jesus lays out is at the same time just severely practical. Like, it's really directive. It's not like there's not a lot of inference or metaphor here. And it is ruthlessly idealistic. Like, how hard is that to do? Oh my gosh. Who wants that? It's like when you're the one that's offended somebody. I heard Jonathan Ingram's feelings. I don't want him to like drag me in front of Dudley to talk about it. But like there's this call, which when you think about discipleship, that's kind of how it goes. Severely practical and ruthlessly idealistic. And that's not a bad combo. Now, how this works is really important, like the way that you would do something like this, because it shares a common dynamic with what it means to forgive. Okay? Now, what Jesus is talking about here is reconciliation, which is different than forgiveness. He's going to teach on forgiveness next week. It's right afterward. Peter's like, hey, so speaking of, how many times do we have to do this? How many times do we have to forgive? It flows on the heels of this because forgiveness and reconciliation go together, but they're different. And here's the difference. Forgiveness takes one person. It's just you. You forgive. If there's something that's happened to you, gone on, where you forgiving it is something that you do. It does not require anybody else doing anything. So if I made Ann Curlett mad and was mean and rude to her, she would work on forgiving me regardless of whether I ever said anything or not or ever saw it or not, because you need to be free. You know, otherwise, you know, you're carrying that around. So forgiveness only takes one person. Reconciliation, however, now that takes two. That takes two people. And I talk to people about this a lot because this is where you start getting into that thing where you feel like someone's wronged you or you have this history of a toxic relationship. Maybe it's with a parent or somebody, a longstanding relationship with a coworker or a family member. And you're kind of like, well, it's been going on for so long. Like, how am I supposed to forgive them? They're never going to say that they're sorry. And I'm like, oh, because forgiveness doesn't have anything to do with that. That's reconciliation. And what Jesus is talking about today, though, is the way that two people can put something back together, okay? And there's a flow to how this works, and forgiveness works the same way, and here's how it goes, okay? I call it, it's the three-step method. You name it, you shame it, and you let it go, all right? And the first part of that is really important. It's where Jesus starts his teaching on reconciliation, the name it phase, because if we're going to reconcile a relationship or you're going to forgive somebody, I don't mean to teach the two concurrently, I should stop. We're doing reconciliation. That's what today is, reconciliation. You have to first say what happened. You have to tell the truth about what happened. Liz, this is what happened. You took my lunch money, okay? I'm just saying it. I'm saying it out in front of everybody. You took it. You know you took it. So you have to name what happened, okay? Alan, you embarrassed me in front of everybody, because you look way better in that blazer than I would. You know, you name the thing. It has to be said, okay, out loud, and then you have to shame it, which basically means you have to recognize it wasn't okay. What happened wasn't all right. It was not okay that Liz took my lunch money. I'm sorry, I should have reversed the roles in this one. It was not okay, you know, that this happened. And that's an important distinction because how do we approach conflict so often? We approach it by saying, you know, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. It's okay, you know, just forget about it, you know? Well, guess what happens? Then nothing. You're still carrying this burden. You can't forgive them. There's no way. Like, why are things so weird between us? Well, because we never actually said what was going on between us, and we never said it wasn't okay. No one ever told the truth about what was happening between us, right? Now, in reconciliation, though, this is kind of tough because what it means is if I'm going to say, well, Liz, when you took my lunch money, that wasn't okay. I need to be open for Liz to tell her truth to me, don't I? If it's a two-way street, I got to be open to it. So Liz is going to say, your lunch money, I gave you that money, and remember you said I could have that? And why are you bringing it up in church? That hurt my feelings. This isn't even your example. What are you doing? And so I have to be open to that. And that then, all of a sudden, I have to be vulnerable enough to sort of hear this, right? And so in that moment, we've named what's going on. We've said it wasn't okay, and I've heard her truth. And if you ever had that happen where you go to somebody and you're like, oh man, you're burning up about something they did to you, and then they present you like the other camera angle of how the situation went, and you're like, ugh. That situation, that's actually a sacred moment for you because what you're doing is you're opening yourself up to somebody else's truth and you're being empathetic. And then what the two of you do is you let it go. You say, we're letting this go. I forgive you. Or, will you forgive me? I totally did blow that, you know? And Liz is like, yes. And then guess what happens? Mysteriously, in the economy of the kingdom of God, you are closer to the person that you just fought with than with somebody you've never fought with before. because it's working through conflict that builds intimacy. I tell this to couples when I'm doing premarital all the time. I'm like, so tell me about how you fight. Oh, we never fight. Then your relationship isn't going anywhere, right? This isn't going to work. Because if you're not, because you can't be intimate with someone that you can't work through conflict with. Think about your best friends or all people that you've worked through something hard with, you know? They're the people because you trust them. I know after what Liz and I went through on that Sunday together, I know we're going to tell the truth to each other. So I never have to be insecure about where we stand. Was she being passive-aggressive with me? No, Liz isn't. That's not what she does. We're cool, right? And so Jesus is like, communities of faith do that. Jesus' disciples do that because God is doing that process of reconciliation with the whole creation. And God has entrusted that ministry to us. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians. It's like, you've been given this ministry of reconciliation. And the way you start practicing it and demonstrating that it's true is you work it out in your own communities. And sometimes that takes help. Sometimes you need a little help with that. And that's why Jesus is really important here when he says, hey, don't worry though. When two or three of you get together, I'll be there in the midst of you. I'll give you what you need to do this. I got you. I got this. That's hard to do. I will empower you to do it. You can trust me and trust each other. So, is there a relationship in your life that needs reconciliation? I mean, that's where the sermon goes. Is there something you've been putting off? Is there a wrong that you've been cramming down? Is there something that happened that you've been just sort of trying to sweep it under the rug and pretend that it wasn't going on? And it just is getting worse and worse, and you're more and more irritated by that person every time you see them, you know, because you haven't worked it out. What would it look like for you to go and practice this gospel? To be someone that's like, okay, first, I'm going to go one-on-one and say, this hurt my feelings, right? I mean, be nice about it, gracious, right? We all know, we've worked this out with people. We've seen it go badly. You can't just go in swinging. You got to say, I'm so sorry. I felt like you were saying this mean thing about me. I don't know what your intent was, but the impact on me, whatever it is. Go and in pursuing them, may you find, as Jesus says, that they listen to you. And that in that space, you gain a new family member. You deepen your relationship with somebody. And you know that, oh my gosh, working through conflict does lead to intimacy because it's the path of cross and resurrection. Amen.